Let's dance. Let your spirit dance. Free your mind. Free your soul. Open your heart. Spread the love. Learn to love one another. One love, one heart, one spirit and one soul. One love, one heart, one spirit and one soul. Let's dance. Only your spirit dance. Free your mind. Soul. Open your hearts. Spread the love. Learn to love one another. One love, one heart, one spirit and one soul. One spirit and one soul. So let's dance. Let your spirit dance. Free your mind. Free your soul. Open your hearts.
Show.
Courage.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Audacity.
Anu machrizim bazot al hakamat medina yehudit be'eretz Yisrael, hi medinat Yisrael.
History. Miracles.
Shalom, shalom forever.
Israel.
Broadcasting from Bethel, just north of Jerusalem, D.C. That's right, Jerusalem, David's capital. King David's capital.
King David's capital.
King David's capital. And now, Tamar Yonah.
When one thinks about the most powerful person in the world, they usually think about who is residing in the White House. And that person today is none other than Barack Hussein Obama. Who is this man, and why does he seem to want to change the face of America? His whole campaign was on change, and whatever happens in America, as you know, they say, when America gets a cold, the whole world sneezes or something like that. And this man is now involved in a war in Libya. With NATO. This is without the permission, without the acknowledgement of the American people, and he seems to be doing things to his own liking. He's changing the face of the economy, of the system of government. He's ignoring the Constitution in many cases, people are saying. So who exactly is this man, and why is he acting the way that he is? Well, some people say that this man, in fact, is a narcissist. And the show, the title of the show we're going to be discussing is Obama's Narcissism on the global scene. What does it mean to the rest of the world if indeed one of the most powerful men in the world, if not the most powerful man in the world, is indeed a narcissist? And what does that mean about his personality, how he may react if he gets angry, if he feels that the world or his group around him is not treating him the way he thinks he should be treated? Will he then shoot from the hip? And what does that mean? Here we have joining us today one of the experts on narcissism. We have Sam Vaknin. He's the author of Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. And this is a book that many people around the world dubbed as the Bible of books on narcissism. Sam Vaknin was the editor of Mental Health and Central East Europe categories in the Open Directory and Suite 101. He'll have to tell us what that is because I don't know. And he's authored many other books and e-books about topics in psychology, relationships, philosophy, economics, and international affairs. He's here today with us to delve into the personality of U.S. President Barack Hussein Obama, whom he says shows typical signs of being a narcissist. And the reason this narcissist disorder is so important for us to examine in regards to the U.S. president is because it can point to dangerous actions he may take as the man who sits in the most powerful office in the world. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sam Vaknin.
Thank you for having me once again.
It's good to have you on. We had once talked about the narcissist disorder and how it could be applied to Barack Hussein Obama. And you told us some very scary things of, you know, how he may react as a person who's suffering from this disorder of self-focus and how the world relates to him. So give us another rundown of exactly what narcissism is and why it is so dangerous if it's held by one of the most powerful men in the world.
Thank you for having me on your show. I'm obliged by my contract to mention that I'm now the editor-in-chief of Global Politician, which is a magazine for international affairs. And straight to the point, pathological narcissism is a mental health disorder. It rests on two psychodynamic pillars. One is an inflated, grandiose self-perception, what we call the false self. The false self is omniscient, omnipotent, unique, special, deserving of and entitled to special treatment, and so on and so forth. So this is this grandiosity envelope. And then the second pillar is a lack of empathy. Narcissists cannot empathize with other people. They cannot put themselves in other people's shoes. They actually do not know what it means to be human or fully human. They regard people around them as objects, instruments of gratification, or extensions of themselves. They are unable to fully grasp in the deepest, insightful, emotional sense that people are three-dimensional, that they are not two-dimensional cardboard cutouts, that they have their own needs, preferences, priorities, wishes, fears, emotions, and hopes. They just don't get it. And they get very frustrated in their rage when people do not align themselves with the narcissist's wishes. The narcissist believes that people should operate in strict accordance with scenarios and inner dialogues that the narcissist is having essentially with himself. We call this magical thinking. The narcissist thinks that the universe is there to cater to the narcissist's needs, wishes, hopes, and to respond to the narcissist's actions. So this is a very noxious and dangerous mental health disorder. because it is the only mental health disorder I'm aware of which renders its sufferer, which renders the patient not fully human. It's a form of, it's a kind of, I would say, alien artificial intelligence. It's the narcissists are not fully human. They don't have the full complex dimensions, smorgasbord, of what it means to be human.
And when you say what it means to be human, you're talking about having empathy and considering other people's part in things.
Yeah, empathy is merely the mode of communication. It's akin to a telephone. Empathy is the way that we project our humaneness, our essence of being human, onto others. But if we are not human to start with, then we are unable to empathize. If we lack critical emotional apparatus, if we lack critical emotional devices, if you wish, if we are unable to feel, if we are unable to emote, and so on, then we are unable to empathize. And so this is only a symptom of a much bigger problem. And that problem is, as I've defined it, the fact that the narcissist is more alien than human and is more artificial than organic.
How do narcissists then get married? How do they find somebody that will agree to live with somebody who focuses on himself and doesn't have the empathy and the emotional tools in order to be able to nurture somebody else in a relationship?
Well, to start with, narcissists have great thespian skills. They're great actors, so they put on a show. They have what I call emotional resonance tables. They know how to imitate emotions, how to emulate empathy. They give out the impression that the other person is the focal center of their world, that they are the pivot, and that everything revolves around the other person. That's very flattering, and it's a hook, and it captivates and it captures, especially certain types of personalities who are codependent, who are addicted in themselves to attention, who lack well-regulated sense of self-worth and self-esteem and so on and so forth. So narcissists captivate and capture very specific types of spouses or mates or partners or colleagues. And healthy people usually realize what's happening pretty soon, pretty fast, and exit the relationship. But
so do you predict a divorce with Michelle?
I would be inclined to think that she shares shares some of the attributes of Barack Obama. Michelle and Barack Obama are a dyad. They are probably two narcissists acting in tandem. That's very common, by the way. Narcissists team up. They are like wolves. They create sort of herds or flocks when they act together. In corporate settings, in family settings, in other social settings, you can see congregations or clusters or aggregates of narcissists pursuing common goals. So I wouldn't be surprised if Michelle herself is some kind of narcissist, maybe not full-fledged, maybe not all-pervasive narcissist, but has narcissistic traits.
Okay, so, and you're saying all of this so we can be clear to the listeners that you have not examined them as a doctor and can label them that they have this disorder, but from your observing of, you've watched several hundreds of hours of video about on Barack Hussein Obama, also with his wife, and studied him very well, and this is the conclusion from someone who looks from afar that you believe that he does suffer from this disorder.
Remotely diagnosing someone is a very bad habit, and it also borders on unethical. So I'm not in a position to say that Barack Obama suffers from narcissistic personality disorder. However, having clocked well over 1,000 hours of Barack Obama videos, I am in a position to say that he has certain behavior patterns, a certain type of body language, certain speech patterns, and so on and so forth, which usually conform well and go with narcissistic personality disorder and do not usually appear in other types of mental health disorders or in a healthy person. That's the maximum we can say at this stage.
Okay, so let's, for the sake of discussion, assume that he does have these, that he is a narcissist from some of the things that you've observed. How can this be dangerous to the American people, to the American values, to the American way of life, the Constitution, and the foreign policy of America?
No, being the president of the United States is a global danger. So he constitutes a global danger, not only a danger to his own people. Narcissists handle global affairs and domestic affairs the same way they handle everything else. Narcissism is all-pervasive. It permeates every type of interaction that the narcissist manages. So global affairs and domestic affairs are not exempt. There are four problems, I would say. I mean, there are many more, but four major problems. First of all, the narcissist believes that he is omniscient. He believes that he knows it all, that he can learn nothing, that the source of authority and the source of reliable information is internal rather than external. In other words, the narcissist relies on himself for making judgments. He believes that he is the fount of wisdom, the fount of clear-headed information and data. He doesn't bother to augment his knowledge, to augment his perceptions with external knowledge. He doesn't believe that anyone is up to his level. He feels superior. He feels that everyone else is inferior, not to say stupid. So why bother? So the narcissist becomes solipsistically a universe, a one-star universe, where everything comes from and goes to the narcissist. It's a totally closed system. Now, of course, that's a very dangerous thing in today's world, especially in today's world, where one has to rely on huge teams of experts and on massive amounts of data and on external sources in order to render a half-intelligent decision. So the narcissist isolates himself. That's because he believes in his own omniscience. That's problem number one. Problem number two, the narcissist believes that he's omnipotent. Now, omnipotence is a delusion that is rarely supported by reality, but there is one exception, and that exception is the President of the United States. The President of the United States is as close to omnipotence as a human being gets. And when the narcissist's delusion of omnipotence is supported by external data, for instance, when the narcissist can move armies, when the narcissist can ruin the financial system, when the narcissist can transform or revolutionize domestic affairs and so on, then the delusion is supported by reality and becomes entrenched and becomes a prime mover and shaker in the narcissist's inner landscape. The narcissist, in other words, has proof, evidence, incontrovertible evidence that he is omnipotent, that he is, in this sense, God, that he is divine. And so omnipotence is a very big problem. Now, when coupled with omniscience, when the narcissist believes that he is both omniscient and omnipotent, he comes to the conclusion that there is nothing he cannot do, that everything is within his grasp and reach, that he can accomplish anything he puts his mind to. And the next conclusion is, the next leap of faith or leap of logic or reasoning is, if I can do it, I should do it. If I'm the only person in the world, because I'm special, I'm unique, I'm omniscient, I'm omnipotent, I have all this power at my disposal and so on, if I'm the only person in the world who can solve the Arab-Israeli conflict, then I have a moral obligation to do so. And that's the leap of faith, the next dangerous stage. If I'm the only person in the world who truly understands what's wrong with America's economy, with American social security network, with America's constitution, with America's institutions, if I'm the only person who can grasp this because I'm truly, truly omniscient, I'm truly, truly very special, no one is, you know, as 10% as smart as I am, then I have the obligation, the moral obligation, if I can, I should, I ought to do something about it. I owe it to these inferior, stupid people, you know? It's a messiah complex, of course. It's a narcissistic messiah complex.
This is fascinating what you're saying, that he's looking at it, because a lot of us, you know, we look at it saying, well, he's either a sellout to, you know, globalism and he hates America, or he's doing it because he's really a Muslim and he wants to see Islam taking over the world. But you're saying that he's doing it in the role of as a narcissist, believing that he really is the only one who understands things as they are, and he needs to take care of the world. He needs to play God. That's what you're saying?
Absolutely, yes. Not only that, but all narcissists, even those in the lowliest positions, even those who are complete failures and losers, even the ones who don't have a single accomplishment to their name, all narcissists believe that they are unique in the sense that they have a cosmic mission, that there is some divinely sanctioned, preordained goal or task that has been assigned to them at birth. They all believe in that. I'm telling you, even those who are, you know, homeless beggars, if you're a narcissist, then something big is awaiting you around the corner. You are destined to greatness.
Hmm.
And so this is what I call personal exceptionalism. You know, America has this doctrine of exceptionalism in foreign affairs. And I call it the narcissist's personal exceptionalism. He's been touched by God. The finger of God has touched him. And if he's religious, he's going to interpret it in religious terms. And if he's not religious, like Barack Obama, because narcissists cannot really be religious. I mean, they are equal to God. They are never.
It's hard to believe in God if you think that you are God.
If you are God, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's one of a family. So if you are not religious, then you simply believe that owing to your incredible brain, owing to your good looks, owing to whatever, owing to your special traits, owing to your definite omniscience and omnipotence and uniqueness and I don't know what, owing to this, you must shoulder the burden. You have this moral obligation to help the less endowed. And who are the less endowed? Absolutely all the rest of humanity.
We only have about 3 minutes till the break, and you said that there were three or four points. One was the narcissist knows it all. The second one is that he's omnipotent.
Yeah.
And the third one is what?
Well, the third one is this divine mission, and the fourth one is the belief divine that he is immune to the consequences of his actions. Narcissists do not believe in the concept of punishment, because they are divinely. Yeah, they are above the law, and they are the law, and because they are divinely or historically sanctioned to commit great deeds, they should be exempt. And we can talk about it after the break.
Well, we have another 2 minutes. Okay, so let's go over that again. So basically, you believe that Barack Hussein Obama, if indeed he is a true narcissist, and he does show the signs of it, you say, that he is a very dangerous man because he is in a globally powerful position to start wars, to...
He is a dangerous man because his reality matches his fantasy.
His reality nurtures what?
Matches his fantasy.
Matches his fantasy. All right. When we get back, we're going to be speaking about the Mideast peace process, the relations he's trying to make with Islamic regimes, NATO and Libya, and the re-election coming up, possibly, of Barack Hussein Obama. All this with Dr. Sam Bachman when we get back.
Hey, what's that newspaper you're reading?
Oh, nothing. Just an authentic copy of the New York Times from 1948.
How did you get your hands on that?
Now you can get any date of the New York Times by visiting www.anydate.com. From your favorite sports team's highlights to breathtaking moments in Jewish history, including Israel's Declaration of Independence from 1948, anydate.com will ship you a full copy reprint of that date's New York Times. Great for history buffs, researchers, and lovers of Israel. That's www.anydate.com.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Courage.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go.
Audacity.
Anu machruzim bazot, al hakamat medina yudit di eret Yisrael, di medinat Yisrael.
History. Miracle.
Shalom.
Bless me.
Broadcasting from Bethel, just north of Jerusalem, D.C. That's right, Jerusalem, David's capital. King David's capital.
King David's capital.
King David's capital. And now, Tamar Yonah.
When one thinks about the leader of their country, one wants to believe that the man or woman that's leading their country has integrity, has honor, has the best interests of it, the people and the nation that he, she is serving. And the question that we're looking at today is, what if instead of having a leader who is someone with integrity and honor, you have someone who is a narcissist? Could that be dangerous? Well, Sam Vaknin is the author of the Bible of Narcissism. It's called Malignant Self-Love, Narcissism Revisited. And he says, after studying over 1,000 hours of videotape on Barack Hussein Obama, reading up on him, doing research on this man, that he is indeed, he does believe that he shows definite signs of having a narcissist disorder. And what does that mean for the American people as well as the world, since he is such a powerful man? This narcissist in the White House could point to a very dangerous future as a man who holds the most powerful office in the world. He can start wars. He can invade countries. He's doing it right now as being part, sending American forces with NATO into Libya. Libya is a sovereign nation. We may not like Libya. We may not agree with its value systems and laws, but it is a sovereign nation. And does he have a right, without the consent of the American people, and to go against what the idea of NATO is, which is a defensive body of military strength. It's a defensive body of military strength, and yet it's going in on an offensive task and to invade another country. Why is this important? Because I believe, and so do many others here in Israel, that Israel could be the next country that NATO or international forces decide that they're going to invade, because they will say, under the excuse of, we've tried to let you make peace, but you haven't gotten it together in decades and decades, so we're going to come in and enforce a peace on you, and this is going to be to the benefit of all of mankind. I mean, they'll dress it up, they'll make it, put a lot of cosmetics on it to make it sound like it's a mitzvah to do, like it's a wonderful thing that they're doing. But this is a dangerous thing. We're going to also talk about the cozying up of relations with Islamic regimes that Barack Hussein Obama is doing. And here, coming back with us on the show, is Dr. Sam Vaknin. Welcome back to the show, Doctor.
Thank you for having me again.
All right. So you were saying that a narcissist is someone who believes that he's pretty much on the level of God, that nobody else can do what he can do, that he was endowed with some type of, you know, touch of an angel, that he's better than everybody else, and he knows better than everybody else, and that he's the only one who can solve the problems. Now, with regular narcissists, you said there is a limit because they don't hold so much power, but the president of the United States is, in a sense, many times above the law, above reproach, many times, not all the time, and he holds and yields much power, and we've seen this already with Barack Hussein Obama pushing through bills without them being read by Congress, pushing through bills that many of the American people are rising up against in the Tea Party demonstrations, and pushing through health care, and getting in America involved in another war when his campaign speeches were how he's going to get us out of Iraq and out of Afghanistan. Now America is involved in an additional war in Libya. So tell us more about this personality and where it can lead us if indeed Barack Hussein Obama chooses to flex his muscles more.
Well, two things are very critical, very important to understand. One, and they go against the grain of the conservative campaign against Barack Obama, which is completely, in my view at least, misinformed of his personality traits. It's they simply don't get the person. The first thing is that Barack Obama, with most narcissists, there is a gap, there is an abyss between reality and grandiose fantasy. You know, the narcissist can fantasize that he is omniscient or omnipotent, but when he looks out the window, there is this reality, and his reality is drab and shabby and dreary and routine and mundane, and so we call it the grandiosity gap. There's a gap between reality and fantasy. Not so in the case of Barack Obama. His reality and his fantasy match. He believes that he's omnipotent, and he very nearly is, because he's the president of the United States. He believes that he's omniscient, and he's pretty intelligent, and he may well be highly intelligent. So there is the grandiosity gap in the case of Barack Obama is much, much smaller. Now, this is very bad news, because the only hope of healing and curing pathological narcissism is when there is a very big grandiosity gap. The bigger the gap, the bigger the abyss, the more the narcissist is ready to acknowledge that something is wrong, seek help, and transform himself. The smaller the gap or the abyss, the more the narcissist feels justified in saying, but what's wrong with you? I mean, look at me. I am omnipotent. I am omniscient. I am the most clever. Otherwise, how did I become the president of the United States and so on? So this is problem number one. Problem number two, the narcissist is convinced that his actions are moral, ethically mandated. He believes that he is doing good, not evil. He believes that he is helping people. He believes that he is following an agenda of righteousness. And this is a great mistake of the conservative movement in the United States. They portray Barack Obama as some kind of a devil, someone who knowingly has adopted or is adopting an evil agenda, a destructive, self-defeating, anti-American agenda. And I don't believe a word of it. I believe that he is self-deluded. He truly believes that what he is doing for the better, for the good, for the greater good, for the welfare of the American people, for the future of the world. The problem is the assignment of roles. While pursuing this agenda, the narcissist, in this case Obama, places himself in the shoes of God or in the role of God. He is above reproach. He is immune to the consequences of his actions. He can fool everybody because everybody is stupid. He is omniscient. He is omnipotent and so on. It is this assumption of divine sanction and divine attributes and divine powers which usually causes the downfall of the narcissist. And when a typical narcissist, you know, falls down, and you know, it can affect a corporation, it can affect a family. But when Barack Obama, the president of the United States, falls down, it can have traumatic effects. It can reverberate throughout the world. It's a global historical calamity. And this is the problem.
Let me ask you this question. If indeed what you say is true, that he really believes that he's the one, and they always call him the one, so it's kind of funny that we're saying that, that's going to be able to solve the problems of the world, bring Middle East peace, revamp America into a better place, why would he then want to cozy up to Islamic regimes which are so abusive to their own citizens, that don't let their own women drive, that women are treated as property, that women cannot go outside of their houses without a man, a figure, a father, a brother, a husband, regimes that believe in Sharia law, which is it's not human rights as the West understands it. Why would he be looking to cozying up to regimes that are anti-West, that hate the West, that daily scream death to America? Why then would he want to do that if he really believes he's making the world a better place?
Well, I don't think Barack Obama's focus is on the world. I think Barack Obama's focus is on the United States. There is a concept in the study of narcissism that is called pathological narcissistic space. That is the area, usually geographical, within which the narcissist believes that he wields and exerts the largest power, the greatest knowledge, the best attributes, where his grandiosity is fulfilled. And in the case of Barack Obama, that would be the United States. And so I think his focus is on the United States. And he is pursuing policies domestically and in the foreign arena, which in his distorted perception of the world benefit or should benefit or would benefit the United States, its people, their welfare, and their future. So cozying up to Arab regimes is the right thing to do if one adopts a very narrow view of America, its role, its future, its functioning, and its institutions. That's why he's cozying up to Arab regimes, because it's good for America.
What does that mean with his relationship to Israel, then?
Well, Israel is bad for America. Israel is the direct cause of 9/11 in his mind. The fact that America took the mistaken path of identifying itself and supporting a tiny state, and the fact that America has sacrificed its oil interests, its pecuniary, monetary interests, its geopolitical and geostrategic interests, all in favor of a small country is smack in the middle of the region, and that was not very clever. And he is, of course, the cleverest of them all. He is the first to have noticed that. Don't you understand? All the stupid people who preceded him, all the stupid presidents and the stupid secretaries of state and the stupid politicians and the idiotic, moronic senators and all of these people have never noticed that, because they are not omniscient. They can't rise to the occasion as far as intellect goes. He is the first to have noticed that America's special relationship with Israel has severe anti-American implications, that the cost, the price of this special relationship is way too big. In other words, that it's not rational. And if there's mm-hmm. anything that Barack Obama prides himself on being, and every other narcissist prides himself on being, is the epitome and the reification of rationalism. Mm-hmm. Being a friend of Israel is not rational. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that you saw the press when they covered when Prime Minister Netanyahu went to the White House and visited with Obama, and they sat by the fireplace and they were talking to the press, and it looked like Obama, body language wise, was very upset with what Netanyahu was saying, that he was saying Israel would not pull out of Jerusalem, it would not divide Jerusalem, there's nothing to talk about, it will not have any right of return for Arabs who claim that they have right to come and live here, and he was going against many of the things that President Obama had hoped that he would not, and did it right in front of him and in front of the press and in front of the whole world. How do you think that evening went?
The resolution of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict, or Israeli-Palestinian conflict, has great significance to Barack Obama on a variety of levels, some of them psychological, some of them realpolitik, some of them have to do with management of the foreign affairs of the United States. Some of them have to do with financial and economic issues and so on. So it's a multi-layered cake. On the realpolitik side, as I just said, Barack Obama is convinced that the special relationship and friendship with Israel is wrong, that it has cost the United States dearly, and had the United States pursued a completely different path or tack, it would have been far better off. And he's trying to remedy and rectify this. On the financial, economic part, of course, Arab world has oil, Arab world has development potential, and so on and so forth, and he believes in the future of the Arab world. He's far less sanguine about the future of Israel. But there is also a complicating psychopathology involved. The Arab-Israeli conflict is the single most intractable puzzle, riddle, enigma in foreign affairs in the last century. In the last 100 years, everyone who is anyone tried to solve this problem. Kissinger, Nixon, Carter, you name it, Bill Clinton, they all tried their hand at this crucible, at this problem, at this Gordic knot of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. What better proof of divinity, omniscience, and omnipotence than solving this conflict? Should Barack Obama solve this conflict, will he not be hailed as the true Messiah? Will this not prove that he has been divinely put on this earth? Will this not be evidence conclusive that the man is way above all the rest of humanity in terms of omniscience and omnipotence? This is the litmus test of greatness, narcissistic greatness. So he is emotionally invested in resolving this conflict. And should anyone dare to oppose him, to criticize, or to disagree with him, he will bear the full might and power and faith and credit of the United States upon that person. Narcissists hate to be criticized, opposed, and disagreed with. Their whole the precarious balance of their very sick personality depends on yes men, on total agreement, on kowtowing, on subservience, on subjugation. Any hint of criticism, disagreement, any divergence from the way they want to manage things proves to the narcissist that he is not omnipotent. Can you resist an omnipotent power? Of course you can't. So if anyone resists him, if Netanyahu resists Obama, that is a slap in the face. That is proof positive that Obama is not omnipotent, as he believes himself to be. If Netanyahu brings to the table very convincing arguments against certain Obama policies and certain Obama initiatives, that means that Obama is not omniscient, that he has neglected and overlooked certain issues. And that cannot be, because Obama is perfection. Obama's full narcissistic pathology has erupted on the Middle East. That is where his pathology will be most evident and most expressed, to the detriment of Israel.
This is very scary to hear. We have about another 4 or 5 minutes left. Let me ask you about 212 and the re-election that he's hoping for. How do you think he's going to handle trying to become win a second term as president?
As he has handled the first time around, he will raise a lot of money, and he is convinced of victory. I mean, there is no other option. He's going to win. His opponents are midgets. He is a giant, intellectual giant, historical giant. Look what he did in 3 years. He has transformed the face of the United States and big parts of the world. And that's only in 3 years. I mean, give him another 5, and you will see what will happen. It's inconceivable that Barack Obama, who has a messiah cosmic mission, should be prevented from fulfilling his destiny by mere elections. I mean, mere mortals, the hoi polloi, the unwashed, the great unwashed masses, it can't be that they will have the power to stop him in his tracks. It's beyond, I can't even explain to you how much this is beyond his perception. Of course, should he lose the elections, the man will be shattered psychologically, will be shattered. Narcissists react with complete decompensation, with psychosis. They become psychotic in such cases, and it would be a sight to behold. But I believe that he's going to play dirty, and I think that he's going to win a second term. Not necessarily by fair and square means, but he's going to win a second term. He cannot afford.
When you say play dirty, can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, anything from smear campaigns to allocations of funds, pork barrel projects, to worse, to potentially police state measures. There's no telling, but he cannot. It also depends to a large extent on the polls as we get closer to the election date. Mm-hmm. But he will not recoil from anything. He cannot afford to lose, not for political reasons, for psychological reasons. He will die. He will atomize. He will vanish into thin air the minute he loses the elections. So much depends on it psychologically that he will do anything to remain in power, not for political reasons. That's, again, the mistake of the Conservative Party. They interpret him as a classical politician, someone who pursues power for the sake of power and this and that. That's not the case with Barack Obama. He pursues power because that's his only survival strategy. He will go insane if he fails. That's as simple as that. He will develop the equivalent of psychosis, delusions. He cannot afford it. He knows probably he has gone through similar episodes in his life. I mean, he has failed here and there, I'm sure. And he knows what will happen to him if he fails. It's so ominous, so threatening, that he will do anything, and I mean anything, to win. And he will.
We have about another minute left to the show. Tell us about your new position as editor of globalpolitician.com.
Globalpolitician.com is an online portal for foreign affairs and economics, and we have 860 contributors from 890 contributors from 86 countries. including academicians, former ministers, former prime ministers, presidents of many countries, and so on and so forth. We are very unconventional. We are politically incorrect. We strive to be politically incorrect. And we publish a selected few articles every second day. We have peer review committees. We have co-editors. We go through a very lengthy process before we decide what to publish. And we publish about 10 or 12 articles. And we don't have multimedia. We don't have images. We don't have videos. We don't have nothing. We are classical old text-based portal, but with, in my view, highly unusual content.
And so what do you want, what is your goal? What do you want people to do with all the information that you provide them?
If they better understand Barack Obama, they can design more efficient strategies to counter him, to mitigate his actions at the very least, or maybe to defeat him in 2012. As things stand now, I have yet to read or learn of anyone in the conservative movement, among the Republicans, the Tea Party, you name it, who has a modicum of understanding of Barack Obama. He is either portrayed as the devil incarnate or as a classical grubby politician. He is neither. He is neither. He is a driven messiah figure with a very serious mental health pathology, in my view, who can and is becoming more dangerous by the day. I have been warning against Barack Obama since 2008. The first article I published about Barack Obama's personality is dated July 2008. That's before he became president. I am sorry not to have been falsified. Most of what I predicted came true.
Sam Vaknin, thank you so much for coming on the show and
my pleasure.
Showing
thank
us
you
the
for
side of what could be if we're not aware of this. People can go to his website at samvak.tripod.com and check out the new website he is editing now, the editor of globalpolitician.com. More on the website where you can hear the show. I'll put some links there. Thanks so much again for being with us.
We are here in Israel for 15 days from Fitchburg, Massachusetts, to let all the people that we meet know that we are very much champions for Israel back in our home state. Everybody say hello real loud.
Hello!
We are ardent fans of Arat Sheva. We have your link on our website. So we've come here specifically to find out how you guys do the great work that you do.
Israel!